believe Elder Blair, it's the first time you've been here, isn't it?
It is.
All right. We're thankful for your presence. May the Lord bless you. Elder Craig Blair, Tuscaloosa Primitive Baptist Church.
It is a great joy to be here this evening to see everyone. Some of you are acquaintances to renew, and many for the first time. Sometimes you have to explain things clearly for me, Brother Clayton. Your comments earlier were in reference that we should not take too much time, right? Okay. Well, going first, that's easy. I can get out of the way for these other brethren, but certainly a desire and interest in your prayers at the time we spend before you tonight would be above all things to God's honor and his glory.
Amen.
If we can edify the saints that are here tonight, we might receive a blessing that we know only comes from his hand. The blessing is grace through the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, and I certainly pray that you do, you might open to the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew. We'll try to get a few thoughts before us this evening and ask that the Lord would bless us. Beginning in verse 10, chapter 9, Matthew. It says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Go ye and learn what that meaneth." Now, brothers and sisters, I would think that we of all people, understanding what we are by our nature, the desire to have mercy.
Amen.
And this one, the very Son of God, who required none and received none, was mindful to extend it. You and I, which have received the great mercy of God at the hand of his Son who suffered in our stead, that we be reminded that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But he says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth." You know, there are things that we need to learn in our service to God as disciples. And there's learning that comes from reading, and there's learning that comes from doing. You know, it is a great blessing to know, but it's a greater blessing to do.
Amen.
When the Lord taught us about washing one another's feet, he told his disciples, said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. A little while this evening, brothers and sisters, that we might be reminded what the scriptures teach us. That we, the flock of God in our assemblies, that we're mindful of those who are halt and lame and sick and weak. You know, for several Sundays, maybe more than they cared to endure, our flock has been taught, we trust, about the church, about this assembly of baptized believers in Tuscaloosa, as it is here, as it is at your church. This flock of God that has been drawn to a place and have a responsibility and an obligation to each other, to care for each other, to be concerned for each other, to tend to each other. You know, and as we consider the scriptures clear that there needs to be order in the church, that our conduct should be becoming the house of God. There's no denying that, and we should not. We should be mindful of that as well. But brothers and sisters, we should be mindful about mercy, that as he says there, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You know, I rejoice reading about David and about the sure mercies of David, those things that he received. I'd like to turn to the few places in God's Word, if He would bless us this evening for just a few moments, and see what the Scriptures teach us about how we should treat one another and our obligations to the flock, to those sheep and the lambs where we're gathered. And Paul teaches us in Colossians chapter 3 about the new man that we're to put on. He says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." You know, brothers and sisters, I'd have you to consider there's never been a disturbance in the church that's been caused by bowels of mercies or kindness or humbleness of mind, of meekness, of long-suffering. It says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against ye any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You know what a very simple and very plain and a very profound statement and lesson to you and I. You know, brothers and sisters, if we consider that one, our Lord and Savior, who received no mercy. When He was on the cross, He received no mercy. It was judgment. It was wrath. It was punishment. But you and I have received that full measure and portion of mercy from the hand of our Lord and Savior. So should we also be so stingy with the mercy that we might give out? You know, don't we all like to receive mercy? Do we like to be equally merciful? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know, these are things that are contrary to our human nature. You won't do that except by the grace of God, by the blessings of the Spirit. But as we see and as we live together in the family of Christ, in our churches, as we look at the lambs that are around us, that we be mindful, brothers and sisters, that when one stumbles or when one is in condition, that we're quick not with judgment, not with sacrifice, but we're mindful of mercy. In Galatians in the 6th chapter, and we'll spend a little time here, Lord bless us, instructions to us, things for us to be mindful. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." There's several things in that verse that we need to pay attention to. It says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. And that just tells you the attitude that you must have if you're going to intervene and accomplish that which we're instructed to accomplish. You know, the goal right here, brothers and sisters, is clear. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Restoration. Brothers and sisters, we all will sin. We'll all fall and stumble along our lives. You know, there's kind of a pattern here. There's sin, there's forgiveness, repentance, restoration. And you know, brothers and sisters, forgiveness is not conditioned upon repentance. Restoration is. But you're not instructed to wait until someone has made things right with you before you forgive them. Did you make things right with the Lord before He forgave you? I don't believe so. No. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What a wonderful opportunity that we have. You know, it goes down here a little further. You know, it says that every man shall bear his own burden. And, we understand there was a burden that only Christ could bear. He bore our sins on the cross. He made full and perfect payment for what we owe the Lord. And there's a burden of serving God that only you, that you must bear your own burden. Your father or mother or son, they cannot serve the Lord for you. That is a burden that you have to bear. But there's a burden that we can assist one another in this life. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, they asked the Lord one time, what was the greatest of all the commandments? He said, well, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and your mind. And there's another one likened unto that. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, see, that's an action there. You know, that requires action. You know, there's some things that you're going to learn some things by doing that, brothers and sisters. You want to fulfill the law of Christ and you bear one another's burdens. You demonstrate that you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And how do you do that? You do that by loving your neighbor, that one that is nearby. And I believe that speaks to kinship, amen, not just next door. You know, that's talking about somebody that you have a bond, that there's a fellowship, that there is something that you have in common with that neighbor. That you're to bear his burdens. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. He goes on down there and says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I don't think it's just a coincidence that verse was included in this passage. You know, brothers and sisters, that should teach us the importance of the lesson here, that we bear one another's burdens, that we seek after mercy and being merciful and not sacrifice. You know, this isn't an easy thing to do. It's not easy, brothers and sisters. At least it's not for me. You know, Peter was looking for an easy answer one time, wasn't he? You know, if the Lord talking about what you're supposed to do, the right way to handle it when a brother offend you. Peter said, well, how many times do I have to forgive him, Lord? Seven? And I bet Peter thought that was enough. Have you ever forgiven anybody seven times? Ask yourself that. The Lord said, no, not seven. Seven times 70. Don't start counting the 490. If you're around me long, you might get to 490 pretty quick. The lengths that we should go to labor to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know, there's a parable about a man and his sheep. I know there's several. This is about a man that had 100 sheep. And he lost one. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You see the diligence that's taught. See how precious even one is. Did he go and seek it till he find it? And when he hath found it, he gives it instructions and admonition and scolds the sheep. Now, when he finds the sheep, does he grab it by the ear and drag it back into the flock? Doesn't do that. When he finds the sheep, does he get the stick? Does he drive it there? No. If necessary. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Pretty good lesson there, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Do we labor that hard with one another? Are we learning what that means? That'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Interesting to me that when the Lord is describing the time he'll gather the elect and non-elect together, the elect on his right, the sheep, and the non-elect on the left, and he describes some characteristics of each. He describes some actions of those sheep. It says, for I was anhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Description of those that are tended to those in need. You know, brothers and sisters, he says there that if we've done these things to the least, we've done it unto him. Do we really think about that? When you have an occasion to have a kind word, you have occasion to bite your tongue when someone offends you, and go to God's word and say, now what does it teach me about how to do that? You think about, brothers and sisters, that in that moment you have a chance to bear the burden, one of God's children, one of those that he suffered and bled and died for, one that he loved with an everlasting love. You have a chance to extend a little mercy for the purpose of restoring one. You know what a glorious thing it is when we see one of God's children that returned to the flock. Oh, and great the penalty be upon us should we turn one of those away, or through some of our actions of hardness of heart. If we're just like those Pharisees and say, I can't believe he's eating there with the publicans and the sinners. What are we? Well, brothers and sisters, we do those kind of things, we need to get fitted for that millstone necktie. Be better for that for us. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. Well, the Bible teaches us about knowledge and about understanding and about wisdom. Great the depths to plumb, to really fully encompass those. You know, brothers and sisters, we know that God has given us the ability to know things. The Spirit helps us to understand those things, and there's great blessing in that. There's a great comfort in knowing and understanding the truth as it is in Christ. But brothers and sisters, the wisdom is in the doing. You know, the learning by experience. You know, there's a knowledge that we can gain through reading and studying and prayer. But there are things that we only learn through experience. And my prayer is that God will bless us all to be seeking to be merciful as we've received mercy. And you know, none of this, brothers and sisters, should ever be something that incentivizes someone to sin. It's not. That's not the purpose. That won't be the result if we do this in the right way. And brothers and sisters, it's not a license for those to behave in any way that they can. But oh, the joy. You know, when you see that one sheep that is brought back to the flock. You know, if you've never traveled the path of the prodigal son, and I don't recommend it.
Amen.
Right. I don't. I want you to understand that there's some things that you can learn out in the world that are not good for you to know.
Amen.
You know, there are those who say, well, I'm glad, you know, the Lord led me through this path so that I'd know these things. And that's wrong, brothers and sisters.
Right.
That's the devil's lie right there.
Amen.
But I can tell you, homecoming is mighty sweet. To be able to come and to be the recipient of mercy and to remember the joys of your Father's house and to be met with open arms and the cry of kill the fatted calf. You know, brothers and sisters, that's something that then you're ready to turn around and extend when you have that opportunity. That's a great homecoming. Won't be as good as that one that we have yet to come. As we said in that song, then I'll sing hallelujah. And you'll sing hallelujah. And we'll all sing hallelujah. But until then, brothers and sisters, let's be mindful of each other. Let's extend the love that's been extended to you and I. You want to fulfill the law of Christ? Then love your neighbor as yourself. Bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters in Christ. May he bless you is our prayer. It's good to be here. We look forward to the rest of the meeting we intend. God bless you all.
Amen.